TPN, hello. I am back. I have no Matt today. He said he couldn't make it because he's too busy. Who knows what he's doing, whether it's bouncing around the United States because he can't go international, or maybe it's because he's really busy working on TPNX, or maybe it's he's finally taking a day off or two, but he couldn't join us anyway. So I'm flying solo, and I'm flying solo with somebody who can instruct me. She can teach me. She can show me a lot of cool stuff, and she can also sell me an airplane. She is the Textron Aviation Regional Sales Director. Her name is Mindy Lindheim, and Mindy and I met up at EAA. Mindy also graduated from Embry-Riddle. She's a CFII. She has one of the coolest and uniquest jobs that I've ever heard of, and we thought it would be really interesting to talk to Mindy about how she got into that space in this industry. One of the things that we want to talk about before we even jump into the conversation is that this is all Mindy's own idea. She's not coming on behalf of Textron Aviation. She is just here as herself talking about how she moved into this world. She might mention or reference the company, but in no way is it a commercial or the Textron Aviation world reporting via Mindy. It's Mindy herself and me talking about how she got into this space and how, as a young 24-year-old, right, Mindy, 24?
Yep.
See, I remember that, but I didn't know if she had a birthday yet or not. So as a young 24-year-old, she's wise beyond her years, guys and gals. And I think we can really learn something from a young hard worker getting into the industry as a sales rep and how she got there and how some of us old fogies need to step back and kind of get back into that road. Mindy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Matt and I were talking about this after we met at a gathering by one of our sponsors, 4Flight. They had this thing called Apps and Taps up at EAA. And it was a fantastic way to network. And that's what we do at the Pilot Network. It was a fantastic way to talk to a bunch of new people. We met some great military guys. We met some really awesome people from all over the tech side of the space and aviation industry. And one of the things that Matt and I really enjoy doing, though, is talking to people like Mindy, who are kind of at the beginning of their career, but have a much different track than a lot of us have taken, whether it's military, regional. You know, we all started out getting educated a little bit in aviation, but then some of us get to blossom off into really cool areas. So Mindy, why don't you tell us how you first got interested in aviation, how that led through the Embry-Riddle experience, and then how you got into Textron?
Sure. So my family's not in aviation at all. They kind of don't even understand what I do. But I was originally interested in going to med school. My sister was in med school. I was kind of following her footsteps, looking into the military side of things. And I came across aerospace medicine, which really sparked my interest. So as I was researching about that job and kind of what it entails, I was reading about the special ways that you have to take care of pilots because there's different medicines they can and can't take. And so as I started reading about the pilots, I had an interest like that would be really cool to fly instead. And I just so happened to have a neighbor who worked for Delta. So I hopped over to his house and asked him what it was like to be a pilot. He really talked it up. I was always interested in adrenaline type sports and boating and all that type of things. So he thought it'd be a really good fit and recommended Embry-Riddle to me. So that weekend, I went to an orientation at Embry-Riddle to check out the campus and see what it was all about. And it really blew me away. So I immediately dropped the pre-med idea. I was already signed up to do that. I was going into my third year and decided to transfer to Embry-Riddle and started going there within a month. I was already signed up.
That is a fairly quick turnaround. And I think you're not the first person. We have two people on this podcast. I was one. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I was first getting into the college world. And I didn't really have any aviation mentor, as it were. I didn't have a Delta pilot like you did or some other guys. So I think that's a unique area that a lot of us, I think we differ. Either we have aviation somewhere, it kind of sparks an interest by somebody mentoring us, or like for me, it was my grandfather. I think probably most of the people who've listened to this podcast know that my grandfather was an influencer on whether or not I got in aviation. It was all military. So when you now, okay, here you go. Orientation. I'm Mindy. I'm 18 years old. Off I go to college at Embry-Riddle. One of the things that I think a lot of us think about in aviation later is, whoops, maybe we should have backed ourselves up with something else. You know, what if I lose my medical? What if I do that? What at that point? Okay, so here you are, 18 years old. You're headed off to Embry-Riddle and you're going, now what? Like, all right, I'm going to get my 4-year degree and then I'm going to go where? What, how did that play out? What was the mindset at that point?
The mindset was airlines, and that's really all I had exposure to due to the mentor that I had that sent me off to Embry-Riddle and kind of the flight training style at Embry-Riddle, if you will. It's very airline oriented.
Yep.
Which is something, I guess, looking back, I wish I had explored other options a lot earlier. I thought that airlines was kind of the only way to go. I thought you went to flight school, you got all your ratings, you become an instructor, you instruct the 1,500 hours, and off to the airlines you go. I thought that was just the track. I didn't realize that there was more tracks than that. So eventually I learned about general aviation. I took a couple of corporate classes that Embry-Riddle offers, which isn't a lot, but once I got into there, they talked about corporate flight departments and charter opportunities, and I finally started to learn more about it, but that wasn't until my senior year at Embry-Riddle.
You know, it's funny that you talk about different tracks. I think a lot of the military folks out there, we didn't know about it either. It's the same thing for you, for an Embry-Riddle grad. You know, they have ROTC in that. But if they're being taught, okay, there's airlines for the military peeps, it's active duty, that we didn't know about Guard, Reserve, all that good stuff that's out there. And I think what's very interesting is once you're exposed to, like you said, the corporate world, some charter, whatever it could be, your mind opens up a little bit, and then you have to take that leap of faith, right? Because especially at your age, the airlines were starting to hire again. Things were looking good. Like, okay, this can be a really, a fairly lucrative or at least a comfortable lifestyle going forward. And the workload won't be crazy bad. And it will be it'll be something that I can do till I'm 65 or whatever. Right. How does one go from that to saying, I'm not going that route. I'm going to roll the dice on being something that has nothing to do with that. And then figuring, you know what, this is where I'm going not for maybe the rest of my career, but definitely for the next 5, 6, 10 years or something like that. How do you make that move?
Well, it wasn't easy. I'll tell you that everyone in the community that I was involved with, and including my family, who's not aviation oriented. So the only thing they really know is airlines as well. So whenever I had this opportunity to branch out and go the general aviation way, I had a ton of pushback. I'll tell you, I did not have a lot of support at first with my decision. But I kind of always take that route. That kind of is what got me into aviation. I always take those type of risks and have that spontaneous type attitude where I don't like to take the route that everyone else is taking, which got me to be a pilot. And then once I'm in the group of pilots and everyone was going towards the airlines, I wanted to branch off again. And that's kind of what led me to this job and getting excited about this job. But when I started telling people about this and that this is what I wanted to do, I got a ton of pushback. But now that I'm in the job and I'm sharing what I'm doing, it's just something that people weren't educated on, including myself. I really didn't know what this entailed until I got into it. So it could have been a fluke. once I got into this, I very well could have not liked it because I really didn't know that much about it. But I do love it now. And now that I've educated my friends and family about what I do and they see what I'm doing and this type of lifestyle that I'm in now they're very supportive now that they're educated about it. But it was kind of that unknown for a while that it took a while for me to get the support to take this job.
Oh, I bet education plays a big role. Isn't that amazing how when you can get people to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish, how many people jump on? Believe me, we at the Pilot Network know all about that. It takes sometimes a monumental shift to help people understand that, hey, we're not trying to scam you out of anything. We're actually just trying to be an information sharing highway with all these pilots. And we want to make it a better place for all of us. Rising Tide, one of our sponsor members, Aaron Hagen, who runs Emerald Coast Interview Consulting. Man, I sound like a real used car salesman sales pitchy today. But I can't, he has a lot of great quotes. And one of the ones he said to me before is, a rising tide raises all boats. And I think that's exactly when you educate more people about what you're doing, it helps everybody out. So let's get into the specifics here. So how does one, and believe me, there's probably a lot of UND, Embry-Riddle, Purdue grads who are going to hear this segment and take notes, get your pens and pencils out, and start taking some notes. How does one go from, okay, I've made this decision. I'm going to make this leap into not being an airline pilot. I'm going to go sell airplanes for a company I'm guessing you never heard of before you show up at their doorstep and say, yeah, I can be one of your best salespeople ever. And oh, by the way, I am fresh out of college. How does that happen?
Well, just like a lot of people I'm sure you talk to, it was a right place, right time type of gig. Mm-hmm. I was working on my master's and I had an assistantship with Embry-Riddle. So I worked for them as well. And they put me in charge of this symposium that brought together a bunch of airlines and aircraft manufacturers all talking about the way we should be training pilots in the flight training world. And so being in charge of that, I got to meet people from, you know, Delta and JetBlue and Textron Aviation and Cirrus and all the different companies. And as I was talking to them there, one of the guys from Textron Aviation was talking about his job and how they sell aircraft. Then I found out that they flew a brand new aircraft to get to this symposium. Like, they just let you fly that around? He's like, yeah, that's part of the job. You fly it around and you market it and you demo it. You fly with people and you sell them. I had no idea this was a job. Like, how do I do that? He's like, well, matter of fact, we have a job opening that's coming up in Chicago. He's like, and I'd be happy to push your resume through and see kind of where it leads. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I'd heard he'd gone to headquarters in Wichita and back and had gotten the job offer. But I knew it was a very unique path to get into it. They kind of took a risk on someone fresh out of college. It's something that they hadn't done before. Mm-hmm. But I hope that that's something that they'll start to do a little bit more and kind of shake up the sales team and have, you know, more diverse type backgrounds. And hopefully I think that they think it worked. But traditionally, it seems like the way to get into a job like this, not just at Textron Aviation, I know a lot of people do an internship where they like to work, get to know the company a little bit and take some sort of whatever they can get you into that you think that you might like for a little bit temporarily and just make it known to them that your goal is to be on the sales team one day. And most companies will work with you that way. A lot of companies that I know of don't normally put people directly into a sales role. You got to kind of work your way into it. But mm-hmm. as long as you let them know up front that that's your goal, they'll try to make that pathway for you.
So getting into sales, little known fact about me was I did sales back beginning part of college. And I wasn't selling airplanes. I was selling cell phones. And cell phones were new and hot. And we also had Palm Pilots. You probably never even heard of one of those. We called them PDAs and not public displays of affections. They were personal digital assistants, I believe. And they were easy to sell. They weren't expensive, comparatively speaking, to what you sell. And they were the hot ticket item in all of Best Buy. Now, one of the things I didn't like is I felt that I was pushing some people at times into something that they didn't necessarily need. At the time, it was a different world. The PDA was nowhere near what an iPhone is now. And I would argue there's some people that still don't need an iPhone. My dad has some sort of smartphone, and when he takes it out and he's poking and pecking away with a stylus to text out what he's trying to do, I have to admit, he's gotten a lot better at it. And I've watched a few videos of my daughter on it. but I still don't know if he needs that. How do you reconcile the idea of, okay, now I'm a salesperson and yeah, I'm selling a super cool, very nice product, but that's not what you start. That's not what you grew up doing. I think a lot of people are either salespeople or not. And then there's some people who get trained into it. So how does one reconcile going into the sales field after that is not what you were planning on being a part of? And then how do you keep motivated to stay on a path like this, as opposed to one where, as you said, right now, you know, you have this kind of free flowing schedule and you get to do all this cool stuff, which is very enticing to a lot of us. But that does take, I would say, some sort of intestinal fortitude and motivation to keep going, because a lot of people could say, wow, man, I'm getting burned out. But you do not seem like the kind of person to me, talking to you both here and meeting you up at EAA, that this, it's almost like it invigorates you more. The more you do it, the more you want to do it, kind of a thing. Maybe I'm off base on that, but it didn't seem like that. So how does that all work together now that you're in it and you're moving along that career path?
So to circle back to the first part about the sales, I think selling piston aircraft is a little bit different type of a sales job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's easy at all, but people normally come to you because they want a plane. It's not like I have to shove this idea down their throat. Like, yeah, they want a plane.
Sure.
I'm just, you know, their liaison between the factory and them getting an aircraft. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of moving parts go along with that, and there is a little bit of convincing to do depending on that person. Maybe they're tossing up between a 182 and a 206, or pricing or budget comes into play, stuff like that. But typically people come to you, or you find people and you get into deep conversations with them because they want a plane. It's not like, I wouldn't imagine it's like selling iPhones where you can kind of sell it to someone who wasn't expecting to buy it, but it seems mm-hmm. like people that come to buy an aircraft are kind of expecting to buy one. It's not like, oh, I've never thought about that. Sure, I'll buy one. it's I talk to them much further down their thought process.
Sure. Okay.
But as far as the schedule goes, that is exactly the type of lifestyle that I love and that I live for. That's what keeps me waking up every morning and loving my job, is not knowing what I'm going to do tomorrow or not knowing where I'm going to be next week. You know, this afternoon after I talked to you, I plan to work from home today, but I could be in Alabama later. Like, you never know. And I absolutely love that.
That is such a cool and unique thing. I think that's what drives a lot of young aviators. I think all of us at some point in our careers and lives love that piece. I think there's a point where the flip side, okay, I could be home more often, or I think there's a lot of interest in that idea in aviation, to start off in a place where I can be free as a bird. I guess, I don't know if there's a pun there, but if there was a pun, it's not intended. Maybe it was intended. I tend to do that. This podcast can get a little bit of some cheesiness to it. I would like to try to stop that, but I guess it's not my personality. That Matt, most of my family. Yeah. I mean, I could curse a lot more and that may like break it up, but I let the guests do the cursing and then I'll just feed off of that. So I agree. You're making me want to take a job as a sales rep. I mean, it sounds.
No, I don't sell you my job. I want to sell you an airplane.
Yeah, I know. Well, you have to remember, I'm only a fourth year guy at my airline, so I can't afford the airplanes that you're selling me yet. Soon. In fact, my wife and I were. Well, I was talking to Mindy before we started the podcast about how we're going on a little vacation and we're going up north. And one of the big selling points to her is because it's up north in Wisconsin is vacation. If you say you're going up north, everybody knows what that means. Like, you're going on vacation, you're going up hunting, you're going up fishing, or you're going up to drink. Like, those are the four things. And those can all be pieced together into one too. So we're going up north and the place that we're going is about 4 hours plus away. And one of the cool parts is this little town has an airport literally right next to downtown. And I said, see, honey, we'll drive up there a couple times to get started. But then in the future, we'll take our airplane and land up there that Mindy is going to give me a great deal on. So So, and she said, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. About the great deal, because she's not, she understands, she went up to EAA for the second time this year and actually had some interest and looked around and stuff. And she said, airplanes aren't cheap. And I go, no, they're not. Not if you want something decent. And I said, the funny part is, and I was telling her how I wanted to get an L-39. And and she was like, okay, what's that? And I kind of showed her. And then she said, wouldn't that cost a lot to operate? And I go, wow, very thoughtful of you. And yes, it's extremely expensive to operate.
She's on you.
Yeah, so yeah, she's bright. In fact, they said, what we'll do is we'll just fly it for a half an hour every month. And then it'll be really fun for 30 minutes a month. And then it'll just sit in a hangar. And she goes, that sounds like a really useful expenditure of her money. And I go, see, I knew you would be on board with me. I think she was sarcastic, but I don't know for sure. So I think there's another piece to this that I wanted to ask. So this is a little different. And what we try to do Matt and I are big, I think we're both pretty big feminists when it comes, sorry about that. If you heard a little rustle there, my microphone moved around. I think one of the things Matt and I like to try to do is talk about some of the diversity inside and within aviation. And one of them for us, a big one, as we've sponsored pre-flight camps to have a camper go and do, and that's a all girls camp, 11 through 14, to go and kind of explore what aviation could be to them, whether it's in a professional capacity or not, doesn't really matter. It's just getting people exposed to our world. Have you seen anything? And I mean, it is, aviation is male dominated. It's just the way it is. There's just not a lot of female ATP holders out there. There's not necessarily a lot of female private pilots. It's a male dominated industry. What have you seen being on the side of the coin you are on? Not only gender, but also going through Embry-Riddle. I mean, you're a born and bred aviation person from 18 on up. You didn't go, okay, I got my degree in underwater basket weaving and now I'm going to go get my private pilot's license because it sounds cool and I'm just going to work through that way. You've been a part of it since you were at Embry-Riddle. Have you seen anything that, not necessarily discriminatory, that's not what we're getting into here, but that just the perspective difference? I mean, growing up in that world as, you know, probably one in 20 or something like that, what have you seen that's different than what a guy like me sees?
Well, those are the facts. It is definitely the one in 20 type thing, but I don't feel that I have different perspective than my male counterparts. I don't feel any different than them. I don't feel like I fly different. I feel like we are all different just because of who we are. Like, some of my male counterparts are gearheads and they love to talk about engines and the way they work and stuff, which is different than me. I know the basics. Some people, you know, have heavy sales backgrounds, which, you know, they went to school for sales or something, which I didn't, and they can have a different perspective. Some of my counterparts in my job, maybe they don't fly their own demos. I fly all my own demos. And so maybe I have a different perspective when it talks to talking to customers since I actively fly the aircraft. But everything that I think differentiates everyone that I work with and everyone that I'm around in my community is not gender-based.
That is kind of refreshing to hear. And also, I think we're this kind of world, definitely our world is headed a little bit more too. At least I hope so, because that's a big deal. Having a 18-month-old daughter, I hope that someday if she's in this industry, she gets that kind of experience. She feels like you do, that, hey, it's our perspectives are different because we're different people, not because of anything else. I think that's awesome. And speaking of awesome stuff, because you have an awesome job. I don't know how you can change. I don't know how you go out and actually have a hobby when your job sounds like a hobby. What's the outside of aviation? What stuff that keeps you kind of going, invigorated, stuff like that?
Well, when I'm home, we love to do any type of outdoor stuff. And I love to spend time with my family and friends when I'm home because I don't get to see them very often sometimes. We have busy season during the spring and summer, and sometimes I don't get to see my friends for a couple weeks. So it's just an important part of your job to realize that and stay in touch. We have the digital age now, so it's not like it's a huge problem. But when I'm home, I love to hang out with them either at our house. We love to go fishing. We love to go four-wheeling, boating, anything like that. We just like to stay outside.
Yeah, I think that's, well, where I live, that's, you have 3 months to get that done and then you shut her down. But that's the way we know how to operate in Wisconsin, which was it, this wasn't your first trip to EAA, was it this year?
No, that was the third time I've been to Oshkosh.
Wow, that's awesome. Third time. That's, I remember when I was a kid that my grandfather used to take me up there. And then for a couple of years, I wasn't able to go work stuff and just busy or gone or whatever the case was. And I've been able to go the last couple of years and actually get a little bit more into the weeds of Oshkosh instead of just going and looking at a few airplanes. I've been able to actually talk to a lot of people and start meeting people. And that to me is such a unique and cool part about that air show as opposed to everywhere else. There's just so much more going on there with the fly-in aspect of it. Yeah, there's other fly-ins, but nothing's really like Oshkosh and the EAA. And I think one of the more interesting parts about all that too is I learned over the last couple of years of doing this is all about social media, right? And one of the things in social media that I didn't know existed was the amount of aviation YouTube channels that are out there that get followed very diligently and religiously by a lot of folks. In fact, people were like, oh, you should make a YouTube channel. I'm like, yeah, so all four people can see my ugly ugly face up there talking about God knows what. And I said, maybe we'll do that in down the road. But you did some social media stuff as of late. That's kind of what we just briefly touched on that up in Oshkosh. So can you tell me just a little, like tell everybody a little bit about how that kind of unfolded and where it was and all that kind of good stuff so people can come take a look at what Mindy was doing.
Sure. So I am not a YouTube creator. I have possibly the intention of doing so because I do love the production side of things. I love photography. So it seems like it would be a really fitting hobby for me to have. It can be tough though, obviously, with my schedule and my time frame I'm working with, but one day it would be neat, I think, to have some sort of YouTube channel. I've been a part of a couple, which was a blast. I loved being a part of it. I have an Instagram. I really don't have anything else. I'm not a very good millennial when it comes to that. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have a Twitter account. Nothing like that. I just have an Instagram, so I don't have to read through things. I can just look at pretty pictures and be on with my day. But I really had a liking lately to posting on Instagram with the short-term goal of, you know, showing the adventure and the fun things I get to do with aviation and the people that I run into. It's a blast to share that with the intention that people either A, continue to fly if they're already an aviator, or maybe inspire people to start flying or come to the page and see that maybe that's something they'd like to do, because you never know how you're going to run into your passion. So it's been fun to share it. It really has been. It's been a blast. And there is a very seemingly tight-knit aviation social media group, like you mentioned, that you saw at Oshkosh, and there's a big following for that.
Yeah, and you were on one of the guy's video productions, and I didn't get a chance to see it. I didn't know it existed before I chatted with you, and then I went on there and I said, oh, I recognize. Yeah. And then I'm looking, I'm like, this guy's got like 250,000 subscribers. Yeah. What was it? Yeah. Steve, what is
Knievo?
Yeah. Steve-O Knievo. That's right. And then how did you guys link up and how did that turn into a, hey, let's go do this kind of thing?
So it's an interesting story, actually. I got a call actually from my company to go pilot an aircraft for one of his videos because there was this new heads up display from Epic Optics. And they had this heads up display that they were going to start selling through a couple different avenues, including Textron. And so they wanted to showcase it in one of Steve-O's videos. And so Steve-O's like, great, it'd be really cool to take a plane out to the Bahamas. Now what airplane are we going to use? So then they decided that maybe they want to put it in a new aircraft, and came across me online, realized I worked for Cessna, called into Cessna, like, hey, is there any way we can partner up on this and have Mindy come and pilot one of the aircraft? So we ended up using a flight school down there. They had a newer 182 they had bought from us the previous year. So we rented that from them and had the heads up display. And that's how I got involved in the first video. And then me and Steve-O got along really well and decided to do a couple more videos together just kind of for fun. Also, a couple of them were also in our company aircraft, a new way that we're trying to kind of market things, kind of in the same light as when I was talking about Instagram, just something not super salesy, just showing people how fun it is to fly planes, fly new planes, and what you can do with them, the lifestyle you can have with them. And that was kind of the goal going forward.
I absolutely love it. I think that's awesome. Where can they, so let's just give a quick shout out to, it's Steve-O Knievo. Steve-O One Knievo. That's how you can find him on YouTube. And a lot of you have probably seen his work. You can go check out, he's got more videos than you're not going to know what to do with. And so Mindy's on there. Mindy, how can they find you on Instagram if they want to come follow you? Let's bolster it up and get those sales up.
Sure. So my Instagram handle has been this way for a long time. I didn't intend it for it to stick like this, but my Instagram handle is Schmindy.
There's got to be a story behind that.
You know, there's really not. I made my Instagram years and years ago, not with the intention of sharing it with anyone, but my friends and family and one of my girlfriends was like, yeah, you should just name it Schmindy. And so then that name kind of stuck. My husband calls me Schmindy. My friends call me Schmindy, just kind of as a funny, fun nickname. And now it just kind of stuck. But it's kind of a hard speller, which I regret now making that handle because it's really kind of hard to find. It is Schmindy.
Oh, that's perfect.
It just kind of stuck. So there's nothing I can do about it now.
No. Hey, uniqueness is always better than, simplicity, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. We'll just say that that's what the truth is. So
yeah, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. And we'll respell that as we get towards the end so people can come find you and all that good stuff. Cause we're into the cheesiest segment and my favorite because I invented it. So obviously it's my favorite part. And this is stolen from every good podcaster that's ever existed. And we're always trying to rephrase or rejigger it to make it more awesomer. And since I'm a Tim Ferriss acolyte and all of you who don't listen to the Tim Ferriss podcast, go out and check it out. He does not pay me to say that. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't care who I am, but I enjoy him greatly. And he has really inspired us at TPN to do a lot of the stuff that we're doing just to help other people out. So let's go through the five memory items, as we like to call it, things that we want people to take away from this podcast so they can learn and do the best that they can do out there in not only our industry, but with our fellow aviators and people who might be interested in it. Talk it up, make it something that they want to do. So what were some of the habits or routines that you've kept throughout not only your career, but your educational background? Maybe as a kid, maybe you were doing something in high school that nobody else was doing because, well, you're just more mature than they were, or you were more thoughtful. And then I think that really plays in with your very peculiar and unique schedule. So what are some of those habits and routines that you find yourself constantly doing?
The number one thing that I've kept from high school until now is just embracing the change in flexibility. And flexibility, anyone who's already in aviation knows that plans change in seconds, and then they change back, and then they change to something else. And you just always have to be willing to roll with the punches. So that's something that I've always embraced. I've told you I love my type of schedule. I love that it changes. I love that I don't know where I'm going next. It always keeps you challenged in a sense, kind of waiting to see what's around the corner. So that's something I've always kept with me, is just to embrace the change and the flexibility and just have fun as you go.
I think that is not only admirable, but required. And I think the other thing is, and I'll just add on to that, is maybe briefing up the person or people in your life that, hey, this is what's going to happen. And if you're not really into that, maybe we should go our separate ways earlier than later.
That is so, so true. And that has, I've moved twice now for the company, originally in Chicago and now to the Atlanta area. And when trying to make new friends with a job like this, it is, I've learned that you have to tell them from the first time you meet them, like, hey, I'm out of town a lot, because it seems like a lot of people who are not in aviation don't quite understand. And when they ask me to hang out a couple times and I tell them no five times in a row, then they start to think you're blowing them off. I'm like, no, like, I'm really gone all the time. Like, I want to be friends with you. Give me a chance. But it's definitely a requirement to brief people in your community that you want to be around about your schedule, so that they kind of understand what lifestyle you're living and that you're on board, but sometimes you're just away.
Okay. That's exactly the way I think I try to embrace. I have in the past. Nowadays, I was saying to Mindy before we started, I'm an old man now in aviation. I mean, comparatively speaking to the guys in the military squadron that I'm in. But now if you don't like it, it's too bad. Suck it up, buttercup. But I used to be more compassionate, and I am that way with my wife and daughter, but everybody else, it's like, not my problem, your problem. This may come across to some people as a little, I don't know, it's a tough question to ask somebody of your age, because you just experientially, you still have so much, you have so far to go, right? There's so much to learn and see and do in the industry. But I think no matter who you are, you can learn from anybody when they look back and they retrospect or introspect on what they've done in the past. So what are something, a time or an area you may have done something a little differently or tried a tactic that wasn't what you used at the time?
Well, we kind of touched on one of those things briefly before, that I wish I wasn't so narrow-minded when I first got into aviation. And I think that goes for any industry. When you start to get into something early in your education, early in your career, to really try to look at the scope of things and look at all the different avenues. And for me, it was knowing that my only choice wasn't what airline to go to. It was what sector of aviation I wanted to go into. And my brain wasn't quite operating that way when I first started. I thought it was this way or the highway. So that's the first thing, is I wish I was open to all these opportunities earlier in my aviation career. And I'm happy that I finally realized that there was other things. But I just wish that I had exposed myself to that a little bit earlier. I also wish I was exposed to aviation earlier, and I guess that's no fault of my own. I really wish that was in our school systems, that, you know, at career day in elementary school, like, I don't remember them talking about pilots. It was, you know, police officers and firefighters and stuff like that. I just don't remember ever having any exposure to aviation in that light, that it could possibly be a job opportunity. With my first flight in a small airplane wasn't until my very first day at Embry-Riddle. It was my discovery flight. So I really wish that I had been exposed to it earlier and started flying in high school and getting around it a lot earlier than I did.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. And if somebody wants to follow a path like yours, what is their first step to take in that direction?
I always tell people to look up your local flight school and go take a discovery flight. See if you even like it. Some people aren't comfortable in small aircraft. Some people don't like that type of feeling. I know a lot of us do. And if you take that discovery flight, I guarantee you're not going to question if you want to do it or not. It's going to be a hard yes or no. But look up your local flight school. I bet there, if you're not in aviation, I bet there's an airport a lot closer to where you live than where you think. There's a ton of tiny little airports, not just the Hartsfields and O'Hares, but take a look around, ask around, and see what your local flight school has to offer, and take a discovery flight, which is a short flight. They teach you the basics. They'll let you fly it once they get up in the air a little bit, just to see if you like it.
Couldn't agree more. I think Now I will actually ask the memory items instead of just the questions that I had planned, because I wasn't looking very far ahead on my little notepad. So now we're going to jump in because these are more rapid fire. So we're just going to hit them off. And Mindy has had the privilege of seeing these ahead of time, so she can just fire her answers out. So all you out there can remember what she said. I hope you've taken some notes, especially those of you who want to go down this kind of path. And I hope you will reach out to Mindy. We'll give you an opportunity to kind of give them a chance to talk or get that information at the end. Again, Schmindy at Instagram, how to spell that, and maybe how to reach her at Textron in case something you're looking at is a cool new toy or way to get the family around, maybe a little family truckster. So let's hit these memory items so we can get into that. All right. Number one, something that all our networkers should read or learn today to improve their position as an aviator or a person.
All right. So I picked a particular book. I don't normally read books. I read a ton, but I read a ton of articles. I read a ton of AOPA, flying magazine type stuff, a lot of research about aircraft and stuff as it pertains to my job. But I recently read a book called Does That Mean I Fail? By Brooks Black. And it's kind of a funny book of all these stories from a DPE down in Florida. He tells these really funny stories about people who have done certain things on his check rides and ultimately usually leads to that question where they turn to him and ask, does that mean I fail? And it's a pretty funny book, and you actually do learn a lot. My husband, he's an air traffic controller, not a pilot, and I had him read it, and he learned so much because the first couple of chapters of the book actually kind of teaches you a little bit about aviation with his intention that not just aviators could read his book, that kind of anyone could read his book and get a kick out of it if you knew the basics. So he kind of teaches you the basics beforehand.
Love it. All right, number two, something that you would have told the Mindy just starting out that this is a must do. I must do this today.
The must do, looking back for me or for anyone getting started, is to go for fun flights, not just all training flights. I think my first fun flight I went to was well after I had my instrument rating. Every single flight was a training flight. So I think it's really important to utilize your license, rent the airplane, go for the $100 hamburger, and remember why you're doing this. Remember why it's fun. Don't get so caught up in just doing training flights each and every single day, which I appreciate that in people, but just remember why you're doing it. It's fun.
Amen to that. I need to take that advice myself. All right. Number three, what was the most helpful advice you have ever received?
Most helpful advice to me personally was to try not to plan everything. I'm definitely a planner. Sometimes you just need to enjoy where you're at. And I get caught up in that sometimes, not knowing what my next job is going to be, what my next position at my company is going to be. Because as much as I love my job and I want to do it for a long time, I don't think I'm going to be doing this when I'm 50 years old. So not knowing what my next job, I can get kind of caught up in that sometimes. So the biggest advice people give me is just to enjoy what you're doing and enjoy where you're at. And if you're having fun and doing a good job, then there's no reason to worry.
Sounds like a plan to me. I'm pretty good at that, but I need to pass that along to a couple people in my life. So we're going to use that advice that you've got as well. So anything else you want to add, your own memory item, anything else that anybody needs to hear Mindy talk about that will kind of give them something to remember walking away from this podcast today?
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone has heard it so many times, but just do what you love. Like my job is not easy, but it is easy for me to do and wake up to every day because I really love what I do and I love to fly. And even if flying isn't your passion, whatever your passion is, pursue it because that makes life so much easier.
You never work a day in your life if you're following your passion. That is something I've heard before. And I think you have given us a lot of insight into what a young person in this industry can go out and do. And I know there's a lot of young graduates and soon to be graduates who are looking for something that's a little different, whether it be service in the military, because some people don't realize that they can go do that. They really don't realize that, hey, you're a pilot. You can go fly an F-16 or or a C-17 or whatever, or you can go become a sales rep. You don't have to follow the path that everybody else has followed. And you can take Mindy as an example, and you can put that into your mind's eye and say, maybe that's where I want to go. Thanks again, Mindy. You are, you really do have a unique perspective and something I think a lot of us can look at and say, let's take the fun and put that back in our job, whether that means we do that on a day-to-day basis or go out and fly again for fun, just to get that invigoration back. Because every one of us started this job, almost every one of us started this job, I think, because we had a look up in the sky one day and said, man, that would be super cool. There's very few of us that started this job going, man, I want to be a rich airline pilot. And especially anybody in the last probably 25 years. So I think that is such a great perspective to hear from somebody who is on a different end of the spectrum than a lot of us are in our careers. So again, Mindy, we want to thank you. Is there any other way that we can contact you besides Schmindy Instagram? Some people might be really interested in buying an airplane from you after this. So how do they get a hold of you?
Sure, you can go onto the Textron website, and once you plug in what you're looking for and where you're from, they'll put you in contact with the right person. I'm on there too. If you happen to be in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and you're looking for a new piston plane, then I will pop up.
that sounds good, like a good deal to me. I'm sure we've got, let's put it this way. I know we have a lot of listeners that are down in that area, and hopefully a couple of them are looking for airplanes. Now, if you're trying to get a hold of the guys, that's Matt and I at TPN. You can do just about anything. You can Google us. You can go on Facebook. You can hit our emails up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org. And remember, our conference, TPNX, is coming up in November. Hopefully, maybe we can even get a nice drop in from Mindy and some of the Textron folks, because they do have all that cool aviation stuff. And we'll be down in Orlando on the 10th and the 11th. We're planning on maybe having a golf outing the day prior. That's still up in the air. We're still working through a couple of guests who are going to be speaking, but we've got some really cool news coming up, and we want you guys to, and gals, of course, to be joining us if you can. It's going to be a big party. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some great networking and some knowledge passed. And I think that we can all use a little bit of that in this industry, where sometimes it can just turn into a non-Mindy day, and that's a little bit too much work. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Take care, everybody. Fly safe.